Good morning, George Mason. Sorry, technical difficulties here down in the studio. I'm Alex Romano, joined in the studio by my co-host, Professor Roger Smith. We're waking you up every Monday here on Your Talk, 9:15 a.m. right here, right now. We're broadcasting to you live on the bottom floor of the Johnson Center and streaming to you live on WGMUradio.com. You can IM us, WGMU On Air Studio, or give us a call, 703-993-WGMU with your comments. And today we're talking about the student government presidential candidates. Now, we have all the campaigns interviewed but one. Tyler and Deb's campaign decided not to participate last minute, but we'll discuss that later in the show, so stay tuned to find out what happened with that. Now, Roger, have you heard anything about the campaigns? Have you seen anybody campaigning, anything around campus?
Yes, I've seen chalk being used, and that's always an effective way to get the message across, effective as far as pay, too. I haven't seen it as much as in the past. I'm wondering if we're going to see some more flyering and other things in the near future.
Yeah, and I know the candidates are going at full steam now. With the week left to the elections, the elections will take place on the 14th and 15th, I believe. It starts at like 12 a.m. on the 15th and goes till on the 14th and goes till 11:59 on the 15th, and it's exciting so far. There's been a lot of stuff going on. I don't know if you probably weren't here, but the debate was on Friday evening, and it was really interesting to get out there and really see what the candidates are doing.
Well, are we going to explain how the student can vote, too? Because it sounds like it's a little bit online and other things.
Yeah, and it's true. It's great that you mentioned that, because we're in the digital age now, and I know they've been doing this for quite some time, or I think all the time. I don't know how long they've been doing this, but for a while. Students vote directly through email. So if you'll check your GMU email, and you just click on the link, and you vote. You don't have to go anywhere, do anything. It makes life so much easier. It's run by the Student Voice Survey. They send out and then you just vote for it that way. So it doesn't really give you an excuse why you can't vote, because everybody's always on their computer.
Yeah.
You know? So, well, first up on the interview docket today, we have Anthony DiCarlo and Krista Muse, who are running for president and vice president, respectfully. Anthony and Krista both have been in student government for quite some time now. They stated on their website how they want to improve responsibility and communication. Some say that being they've been in student government for so long now, that they could be part of the reason why it's not good at communicating or being responsible. So I started off asking them what their plans are to help improve this.
Okay. So yeah, me and Krista have been in student government for, well, I've been in it for three, Krista's been in it for two. And since we've been involved, we've been really trying to defeat nepotism and elitism in student government, because it definitely was a prevailing mindset when I definitely got into the organization. One of the few things that we've tried to do while we were in the organization was we tried rewriting the Constitution and our governing documents so that you really could have a more open process, a more transparent process. I'm going to let Krista take over now about some things that we're going to try and do for SG should we be elected.
Sure. And I think that this is a really good question, because I know that sometimes I actually feel that student government is still an elitist organization, and I think Anthony and I have done a pretty good job of working not only with the Constitution but with the code and making it more open to students. But I think that one of the problems comes in is with advertising to students, and not only just advertising events, but also advertising initiatives, which is something that we don't do. And I know Anthony and I can even take credit for not advertising well the 18th credit hour initiative that we worked on last year, because I know personally, as a learning experience, it would have been great to have as many students as possible put that input in. And I think that now that we've learned that lesson, we know some of the best ways to advertise to students, and the campaign has also been a learning experience as well. We know some of the really great ways to advertise to students, the free ways to advertise to students, and some of the very cheap ways to advertise to students that students actually look at. And I think that it's something, there are things that student government hasn't done in the past, and we know the things from the experience, we know the things that don't work for student government, and we're looking to try out new things. Using the radio station, using more flyers, putting them in resident student mailboxes, and using the cubes, which is new and cheap, and also using that scrolling thing on the top of the information desk at the Johnson Center. One of the things that we're really trying to do is get student government its own listserv, which is something that we haven't been able to do in the past. And we're really trying to advocate for something more centralized, even if we have to do it in a grassroots way, to just kind of get students to sign up on their own. And what you can see on our own campaign website is a calendar that's updated with all the events going on at Mason for the day. And that's something that we did on our own because we thought that students deserve to know the things that are going on. It's something that we want to embed into the student government website, just kind of a centralized place. I know a lot of the candidates talk about it, but it's something that we definitely decided we wanted to start doing now. So.
Okay, sounds great. Now, you said you planned, this is straight off your website, we plan to put the relationship between students and Mason Police as their top priority. Do you feel the Mason Police isn't doing something right now? And what are some of your plans and ideas to work with them?
All right, well, I mean, here's the thing. Mason Police have a specific job to do, and that's to provide a safe and secure environment here at Mason. I don't think that they're not doing that job. I think they're doing that job very effectively. Where the problem comes into is, you have students sometimes that, you know, you're gonna go out, people are gonna drink. You have to understand this is a college campus. I understand that, you know, underage drinking, it's against the law. You know, your body is if you're under 21, your body's considered a container. But what we're trying to do is work with the police so that we can have a safe yet fun environment. I think the perfect example of that would be the Gunston Go Bus and how the current president Zach and Claire worked with the Mason Police because they were afraid that, you know, we're going to be providing a service to the students, one that's going to be, you know, driving students to Old Town Fairfax where there are bars and people are going to go and drink and it's going to provide them a safe ride back to the university late at night. But they didn't want to have it be that the Mason Police would then stop and wait right where the bus stops and you're going to be arresting people, giving them drunken publics. I think the thing is there's a stigma about talking to the police because the police are just out there to get you, and they're there to keep you down, and they're not here to let you have fun. And another perfect example is the fact that you can be safe and have fun and include the police in the process would be the homecoming tailgate, which, you know, with what we're trying to do on our campaign, we're trying to work to have 4 tailgates during the season, basketball season next year. That being said, we're going to obviously need to work with the police hand in hand if we're going to be pulling off the success of these 4 tailgates, you know, with the liquor license, chili cook-offs, carnival kind of atmosphere. We're going to need to work hand in hand with the police in order to pull these kind of events off.
Yeah, those ideas sound great, but I know the Mason Police, they're really not too open to working with students to, you know, maybe giving a break to being drunk. I co-hosted a segment with the assistant chief of police, and I've gotten to know him pretty well. And I don't know, do you think it's possible to, and you should check out some of the podcasts of what he said, because that question has come up a lot. You know, we do want to provide a safe environment, but their whole thing is enforcing the laws. Would you advocate more to try to get the police to be more lenient with maybe the enforcement of the laws, catching students when they're walking around drunk or anything like that?
We're not really talking more about the police being more lenient. I think I've said it at the debate and I've said it before, being a fun campus and being a safe campus aren't mutually exclusive. I think there's this belief that it's all or nothing with the police, and that's not really true. I think that they're doing a great job. As a female on campus, I always feel safe, and I think that I can attribute that to the Mason Police, but also as someone who is soon to be 21 years old. My birthday is on Tuesday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Make sure you keep that in the podcast. And someone who's worked closely with program board, where my roommate did the program board homecoming, I think that was one of the most successful events Mason has had, due in part to the relationship between the students and the police. It's been done before, so I don't think, you know, that it can't be done again, and that's why it's one of our main priorities, building upon a relationship that is new, that we're, you know, trying to continue. It's, you know, it's still fragile. It's like, you know, a new relationship. You don't want to push it too far, too fast, you know, so it's definitely something that we're willing to work for the students, you know. Like we said, a lot of the initiatives that we're working on may not be able to be done in a year, but it's kind of our belief that it's not about Anthony and I, it's about the greatness of the university once we're gone. So,
okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Now, you said you want to increase school spirit by continuing a lot of the same events student government does now, such as De-Stress Fest and Gold Rush. Besides having tailgates at basketball games at our home, what are some of your ideas to increase school spirit?
We're so excited about this. I don't know who wants to go first. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I guess first off, one of the things is, like, you know, that we've talked about is the lack of community and that how that the lack of community and the lack of inter-organizational working is what basically keeps us separated. You have all these great events, whether it's multicultural events, all these different diverse events that are single in and of themselves, but they never get grouped together. You have International Week, you have Greek Week, but it's for a week. And community lasts a lot more than a week. One of the ways that we wanted to address this was with our initiative called the President's Council. And with the President's Council, ideally speaking, we would love to have the presidents of each of the 250, 287, I don't know, the number keeps changing, organizations, basically to sit down on a monthly basis. Set a master calendar for the kind of events that are going to go on during the entire academic year. And the basis of this is it provides a forum for presidents of organizations to meet and work together and have organizations that in the past haven't necessarily worked together. The perfect example is this. I went up to a table the other day and there were several girls from the Indian Students Association. And I said, in the last 3 years, can you point out one time to me when student government has worked with the Indian Students Association? And she said no. And I was like, has student government ever approached you? And she said no. And I said, has the Indian Student Association ever approached student government? And she said no. And I said, now wouldn't it be great if we could get organizations to work on a level where just because we might not necessarily have similar beliefs or similar ideas, we could still be able to come together and help each other out. And that doesn't mean necessarily spending money. Sometimes just manpower, sometimes name recognition and support is all you need. Advertising is clearly the biggest problem that we have. And this forum, this President's Council, which was talked about 2 years ago, never got off the ground, it's something that is pivotal and, you know, fundamental to our campaign. Yep. I think it's, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think it's something that has the great potential to really increase cooperation amongst organizations. And I think that's where you're going to have the sense of community derived from, is from the organizations, because they do so much for the university.
And that sounds like a great idea to help get all the organizations and the students involved.
Right.
But you said that you really want to do that, and student government hasn't done that in the past. But you've been in student government in the past.
Right.
Have you pushed for anything like that to be done?
I mean, we worked with, you know, as senators, we all kind of band together under someone's initiative. I think, especially for me last year, the committee that I served on, and Anthony was the chair of the Government Academic Affairs Committee, we spent the whole year rewriting the student body constitution. And that's something that took us forever. That working on that and the 18th credit hour initiative really took up a lot of our time, which is why we'd be focused on getting people in the organization who are all excited about, you know, similar events. It's not just, you know, one initiative like the President's Council that has community spirit in it. Like, everything we do, we plan on building community spirit or increasing interaction between student organizations that may not have interacted together in the past, or students that may not have interacted together in the past. But a lot of it is also, like, a conversation between administration and students. I know Anthony has his President's Council, but one thing for me, and since I came here as a freshman, anyone who knows me knows that this is my biggest pet peeve, is that there's nothing on campus that's green and gold. And for me, I think that that's something that the administration should invest in for school spirit. You have, you know, the fans in the Aquatic Center, but other than that, there's really not much on campus that is green and gold. And I know a lot of it has to do with the contracts that Mason has, but I think it'd be worth it to have student voice in there, you know, pushing for a place that's very school-spirited, very, you know, when you go in there and you have that patriot pride, that should be pervasive throughout the university. You know, it can come from students, but it also should come from the administration as well.
And I just wanted to address one more point with the question that you just asked.
Okay.
And it's the fact that, you know, in the last 3 years, yeah, we've been busy and we've been doing other things. And the thing is this, is when someone has a great idea, if they don't get out there and they don't try and push it to the students and say, is this something that the students actually want, it makes it really hard for student government to get behind something. Mm-hmm. I think when you have a movement, much like, for example, the Mason Green Fund, they came to student government and they asked us for help. And initially they had asked us for money and that we support the fact that there being an endowment that would go towards building up this fund. And we said we didn't really support that, but we supported them in the sense that we wanted them to go out and increase student awareness, increase student activism. And I think that's the part that student government can do a much better job on in the future. You know, because people have great ideas. Sometimes people will disagree. That's always going to happen. But if you get people from the grassroots level, from the student to student level, and not really up, you know, in student government, if you get them to want to work behind something, it makes it so much easier then for student government, for student body president and vice president to advocate on behalf of the students. And that's really one of the things that we try to do on our website with What's Your Beef. It's something really simple. It's just a forum that provides you a chance to say, listen, this is what we really hate at Mason. This stinks. We really need to see this changed. And when we hear the same people saying the same exact things, and you get 500, 600, 700 people saying the same exact thing about the same exact issue, it's easier then for student government to say, let's get behind this and let's really try and get this changed. When one person comes in with one idea and they want to just go their own little route, that's not how you get things done here at Mason.
And that's certainly true, and I know that from my work with student government this year. Thank you very much, Krista and Anthony, for coming out today on WGMU's Your Talk.
Thank you.
Now, it was great having Anthony and Krista on. They're also really strong candidates, and they did have a lot of interesting things to say, and they do have a lot of interesting ideas, and they've been in student government for quite some time now. Like, I think Anthony's been in for 3 years, and Krista's been in for two. Now, you could understand, right, Roger, if, you know, being everybody saying who's running their campaign, saying the student government needs change, they need this, they need that. For people who have been in the organization for so long, being part of maybe that problem that they have, a lot of people could say, you know, maybe these people are the problem. You could understand that, right?
I can hear that. I can also see where people's idea of change has many different hues and flavors. And if communication can be achieved, then I think a lot of those differences will go by the wayside.
Yeah, and you brought up a great point. And I know, like, Anthony and Chris have only been in a senator position now, from what I know of these past few years. So they haven't been president or vice president. So I don't think they've been given the chance to actually push and make that change as much as they would want to, because they're only like one or two people out of 30. So hopefully, you know, if they do end up getting elected, I really do think that they would live up to what they're saying and help institute this change, because I think a lot could be done through student government. Because there are a lot of connections with administrators, and they could really at least get the students' opinions out there. And to tell you the truth, I'm in it now. I don't think we do a great job doing that. I mean, I try, but there's only so much you can do if not everybody's behind it. The people in the organization are great. They're great people to work with. They're all hardworking, but there's a lot that can be improved. And hopefully under some new leadership next year, that'll happen. But next up, we have Josh St. Louis. His running mate, Amanda Johnson, did not come to the interview. Josh stated on his website that he wants to get student government back in touch with the students, just like what we were talking about. I started off asking him what his plans were to do that.
Okay. Well, really, the out-of-touch aspect that I'm focusing on is that no one really knows what student government is doing. And I, of course, proved this in the first 2 days of my campaign. I took a survey in which 43 random people responded, asking simple questions like, who is our president and vice president, speaker pro tempore, and the chairman of the EDC? And only 8 people could name that Zach Golden and Claire Foreman were our president and vice president. Only 4 could name that Jeremy Miller was the speaker. And only 1 could name the speaker pro tempore, who is Anthony DiCarlo, by the way, and the chairman of the EDC, Haywood Watkins. So really, it's just about telling people what we do. And of course, I have several ideas about this. Really, it's best internet outreach. I want to maintain a website just by the executive branch, telling people what we do, how we do it, and ways to get involved. I want to increase Facebook outreach. I want to increase outreach on Twitter, things like that, just so people know what we're doing and ways to get involved.
Facebook and Twitter are a great way to reach out for people. This show is on Facebook and Twitter, and I felt it's definitely a great advertising tool, and it's great that you want to get into the whole technology realm and bring student government into that more so than we already are now. And I know you just mentioned polling, which is going to be one of the questions that I asked you later in the show, but being that you mentioned it, we're going to follow up, and I'm going to ask you about that now. Now, you seem to indicate that the polling that you do is really going to help you in terms of making decisions with, you know, what students want and getting the word out there more. That you mentioned this in the debate last night, and it is a great idea to do that and really find out from the students what they want. But is taking a poll of 43 students in a school of 18,000 really scientific? Do you think that is a really good way to show and provide true results of the true overall feeling of the student body?
No, it's not scientific. And of course, this is just 40 random people that I happen to see in the course of 4 hours on campaigning both days. And of course, I'm going to make my polling a lot more scientific. Really, in the course of my talking to various people, campaigning, outreach, they've all had the same concerns. They don't know what student government does. Heck, even a few people said, do we have a student government? That's a little bit alarming.
It is. Now, how would you go about doing that polling when you're if you do happen to get elected?
Well, again, on the website that I hope to maintain just by the executive branch, have that, of course, have the increase the town hall initiative. And, of course, ideally we'd get a lot of people to come out there, ask their concerns. And I really want to meet with constituents one-on-one on a personal basis, have my office be open, have times of the week where it's just set for meeting people so I can hear their concerns.
Okay, that's great that you're really open to hearing what the students have to say. Now, on your website, you said you want to work with administrators to cut spending and increase the financial aid. Do you really think that's possible? Maybe it's possible to work with administrators, but to actually see results. What do you think?
Well, all I can say is that I can try my hardest. Out of our budget, I don't have the exact number on me, but there's a very small amount that's dedicated to financial aid. I think it's like 2%,
yeah,
somewhere in that range.
I think you said even like 1.1% on your website.
Yeah, that's the number.
Something really low.
And of course, this is a massive budget. And not just in the course of financial aid, but in overall spending issues. I really want to take this massive budget, condense it a little bit, to show where our money is actually going. And ideally, when people see the things that we're spending money on, they will get outraged and they'll say, we want to spend our money this way. And of course, I can be the voice to the administration to say, this is what the students want. How can we make this happen?
That's great, and it's great that you want to work with the administrators one-on-one to help improve the lives of students, which of course is just what every other campaign wants to do. But what do you think makes your campaign special?
Well, what makes me special is that I think I can relate to the students on a one-on-one basis. I want to be the most open administration as possible. And of course, in my campaign, I'm just talking to people. I'm not holding elaborate fundraisers. My website is not the most fanciest out of the other ones. And I think I just really want to outreach my message to people, connect to people on a one-on-one basis, and just show that my administration will be open and that the average student will be represented.
That's great, and I know it's always great to get the average student out there and represented in the student government because that's their job to represent the students. Now, on your website, you said you want to make the campus 100% Wi-Fi. How would you go about doing this, and who would you work with?
Well, I'd work with IT services specifically. Now, the administration has said that it's the eventual goal to get 100% Wi-Fi, which is good for the students, but ideally, with the way our economy is growing and the administration is growing, we really need to have 100% Wi-Fi right now. And of course, it's not just 100% Wi-Fi, it's how do we improve current internet access, even in places like the JC or Science and Tech, that building. I can't get internet access sometimes. So it's really just working with IT to figure out how we can improve this.
How do you feel the internet access is on campus overall as of now on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would give it a 6.
A 6, really? Okay.
To be honest, my best internet is in my dorm room. I get pretty good service in the library, but even in places as busy as the JC, I only get service there 50% of the time.
Yeah, and I could say I could agree with you on that. We had Mr. Randy Anderson, who's the Director of Network Engineering and Technology, on this show and worked with him to discuss about the internet issue here. And it really is a problem in some places. But overall, I mean, I wouldn't give it a 6 personally, but you're definitely right about some places in the JC that do need some more access points. And I know that they have a lot of plans this summer and in the upcoming months to put in more access points to help improve the internet access. I believe each access point is about $1,000 to add in, and that can really make a big difference. So it's all about going about the issues the right way. Mm-hmm. And that's great that IT is one of your big things in the campaign, which it's a big thing in our modern day, so hopefully that'll continue. Now, you said you want to make the student government a smaller government body instead mm-hmm. of having so many undersecretary positions. But you also said you wanted to add some positions. Mm-hmm. So isn't that contradictory? You're getting rid of positions, but then you're also adding positions. When you're cutting back, aren't you just cutting back and cutting back?
Well, I'll be getting rid of positions that I deem ineffective.
Okay.
And of course, once I do, if I get elected, I'm going to ask current secretaries what they do and if they think their job is effective. And I'll be looking at it at a case-by-case basis what secretary roles are important and what aren't. The biggest things that I really want to add are an attorney general to make sure that students' rights aren't being violated and to protect their free speech rights. And I want to create a stronger a housing secretary to work with housing services. And I want to create a secretary just to advocate the needs of commuter students, because that's also a big issue. In terms of how many secretaries there are, well, going back to my poll, out of 43 people, only 8 can name the president and vice president. I'm pretty sure average student probably can't name our current housing secretary. So it's just about creating better secretaries that can serve the student body and that are open to the public.
But just because students don't know who they necessarily are, that doesn't mean they're doing a bad job. I bet if you ask 80% of the people in the United States, they would tell you they don't know who the Secretary for Housing and Urban Development is under Obama's administration. Correct?
That is correct.
Should those positions be cut also?
Well, I'm not debating whether or not they're doing a good job. It's whether or not they're open. My issue is that I'm going to look at it case-by-case basis as to which secretaries and undersecretaries are doing a good job. These are my proposals as of right now, the 3 I want to improve. And honestly, it's just if I'm elected and working with these secretaries, I'm just going to see what works and what doesn't work.
Okay, and you said you wanted to create a housing secretary, but did you know there already is an office, an undersecretary for the housing under the student services secretary?
Yes, well, what I want to do with that is just make that housing undersecretary more open so that people know who they are and so they can voice their housing concerns.
Okay, so would you want to make her a full secretary or keep it as an undersecretary position? Because before you said secretary, I don't know if you were getting them mixed up.
Yes, right now it's an undersecretary, and I'll see if that's effective, and if I deem that it needs to be a secretary, I'll pursue that course of action.
Okay, and I know you talked briefly, we'll talk about, you said some other secretaries on your website. You already had plans for ones that you would want to be cut or combined.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still want to go forward with those if you do become elected?
Yes, well, the ones that I want to combine are the ones that deal with media aspects, and that I want to turn into a non-secretary role, making it a press secretary type. And possibly explore the option of working with student media to have that office headed in student media. Really, and it's just about, again, with my outreach aspect, letting people know what student government does and having one of the most open student governments that there is.
Well, that would be great if you could get student media to work with you on that. But that might be something hard to do. I think it's better to keep the role in student government and have them work with student media, but I think that's great that you want to take up the initiative to work with other student organizations such as student media. Thank you, Josh, for coming out today on WGMU's Your Talk. Do you have any final words?
Well, I just want to say that I'm running as the average student. I'm not parading around with the big endorsements, raising money. I'm just bringing my message out to people, and I think people are starting to get it. I got a phone call the other day from a group called Falcon Water Free Technologies, based off what I said about my ideas on water-free urinals. They said they like the idea and they know how they can do it. I'm meeting with the GMU Environmental Group very soon because they also like my ideas. And of course, I'm outreaching to other groups such as Broadside, and I recently got invited to a Tau Delta Phi meeting because they want to talk about issues as well. So it's just about meeting with people and hearing their concerns.
Did you know that water-free urinals were already tried and then they were taken out in the JC? That was actually started by, I believe, don't quote me on it, but the chairman of the Student Services Committee, Senator Ravi Udeshi. Did you know that's something student government has already taken up?
Yes, and the actual group I mentioned, Falcon Water Free Technology, says they're in the process of working with Mason to bring the idea back.
Okay. Yeah, I believe a lot of people had complaints about them really being kind of unsanitary in terms of they smelled really bad.
Well, right? This could probably take a lot longer to explain than the show, but basically, In short, they're sanitary, they save water, and they save money.
And that's all that matters at times, especially in our new age. Thank you very much, Josh, for coming out today.
Thank you.
Well, Josh did have some interesting viewpoints there. I don't know if I agreed with everything that he said, though. What do you think?
Didn't sound like you agreed with a lot of what he said. That's what I think.
Well, I gotta be a hard interviewing, guy here. I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. I was really interested in some of the points that he made, and I just wanted to correct what I said. Ravi did not start the water-free urinals. I think it was something that, I don't know, was done through the administration or something with student government in the past. But have you ever seen those before on campus? I don't know when we last had them.
No, I haven't seen those, no.
Yeah, I heard a lot of complaints from students in student government that they smelled pretty bad.
No.
So, I don't know. What would you think of something like that coming back?
Gee, what would I, that's why I was confused in the interview. It was rejected a few years ago, and now he's saying it's being brought back. Was that one of them?
Maybe. I really think he means that a company's trying to work with Mason to bring it back. I don't know if the Mason administration is all for that. It saves, like, thousands of gallons of water. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to deny that. And we got to do what we got to do in this world to help out and get back, but I don't know. If they smell pretty bad and it's going to become unsanitary, I don't know.
Okay.
And also an interesting thing that he brought up was the cutting of positions. You heard that part,
cutting,
right?
And replacing
positions. And replacing positions, yes.
Maybe he thinks it'll be more efficient in his mind.
Yeah, maybe. I just really didn't agree with him on that because I think all the positions serve their purpose. Maybe there are a few, but I didn't hear him mention any positions that don't serve a purpose. And I can tell, and I maybe there are some, and I admit that, some undersecretary positions. But from what I know, the ones that he wants to cut aren't, you know, something, ones that I agree with. And just from being in student government, you know, and seeing what these people do, especially, I think he got the secretaries mixed up. Also, because there is an undersecretary for housing already, and I don't think that's necessary to have a full secretary for housing. I mean, whatever. So it was interesting, and again, the press secretary thing I didn't necessarily agree with. Also, if you want to keep something like that, keep it in-house, right? Don't you agree?
Right.
Working interrelation student with other student orgs?
Right.
I mean, if you want something done efficiently, you keep it in-house yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree? I mean,
yeah.
Especially
with people you know.
Yeah. Especially, I'm sure you've seen from your experience working with WGMU, if you just keep them right in place, you know, they'll get the job done there because you're overseeing them directly. But, I mean, it was interesting. Overall, what did you think?
I think he has some innovative ideas, too. It's going to be a matter of communicating those ideas to people and whether or not they agree with him on too. That'll be for each candidate, too.
Yeah, it's all about getting the word out there.
Yeah.
And the last person getting the word out there today is Kyle McDaniel. He was not joined by his running mate, Jillian Farron. He is actually currently the Secretary of the Treasury for Student Government. His running mate is also an Undersecretary for Parking and Transportation Services. Being he's already in the organization and basically its highest and most influential finance position, I asked him about if he's already done anything to help improve spending and what some of his plans are. Let's take a listen.
Well, I think that the first thing that the student government should be doing is spending money better and wiser, because they do have a $40,000 budget, and I think that if they use that money in places that needs to be used and not in places that doesn't need to be used, we can use that effectively, we can target spending. I think that's one of the top priorities that we need to be looking into. I think another part that we need to be looking into is encouraging students to do community service, because there's a big base of people here at George Mason. There's intellect, there's manpower, and that can be tapped into to help not only the university, but the community at large. So those are my two big key aspects of what we should be doing, what the student government should be doing, and how we should refocus the student government on those two things in particular.
Yeah, that sounds like some great ideas. Now, you said you want to spend the organization's money more wisely. What are some of your plans to do that, and what have you done so far this year, being that you are in one of the most visible and influential positions in student government that deals with finances? You are the Secretary of the Treasury right now. So what are your plans for the future, and what have you done so far to almost give you credentials want to do?
Right. Well, I think the first step is to get the Senate's spending under control. And by that, I want to implement a litmus test. And what this litmus test is going to consist of is any spending bill that comes across the desk of the president will have to answer two questions. And if it answers no to either of these two questions, it will be vetoed. The first and most important question is this necessary? For example, do we need a snow cone machine? Do we need a cotton candy machine? Is this necessary? And if the answer is no, it'll be vetoed. The second question that's going to be asked is, does this benefit all students, or does this have the potential to benefit all students? So if this only benefits a certain organization or a certain faction on campus, then it will be vetoed. Because the student government should not be spending money or giving money to a specific organization or a small pocket of students on campus, it should be implementing programs and initiatives and services that all students can partake of and that all students would be interested in participating in.
Yeah, that's true, because student government is a student government, a student organization, so we should be spending and allocating money for student services.
Correct.
Now, one question that something that you brought up in the debate, you said that how you wanted to eliminate the hotel conference center. You indicated that as wasteful spending, if I'm correct. Now, why would you want to eliminate a revenue-generating source for the school?
Well, I don't necessarily want to eliminate. I think the money should have been spent or could have been spent better. You know, it was $10 million to build that conference center. And, you know, while it will generate revenue, the circus generates revenue, but the circus also takes up parking spots that we need. So it's a give and take. You know, in these economic times, I can understand the need to generate revenue. But as I also said during the debate, before this is a conference center, before this is a circus arena, this is a nationally ranked university. This is an academic institution. And the concerns and the needs and services for students must be top priority among the administration when they make these types of decisions.
Okay, and that's great. Yeah, and student input should be put into that. That's great that you want student input throughout if you were to hold office. Now, you said you're not running your campaign necessarily based on change or reform. But in the debate, you had a lot of ideas for change. So how is it that you're not running based on change, but you have a lot of ideas for change and reform? Isn't that contradictory?
Well, I'm not running on bringing in change. A lot of people are saying, we're going to change this, we're going to change that. I'm going to do whatever it takes to help students. And if that's keeping the status quo, fine. If it's changing everything radically, fine. If it's whatever it may take to help all students, that's what we're going to do. So I'm not promising to, you know, make radical changes, but I'm not saying I'm not going to make radical changes. What I can guarantee you, though, is I will do whatever it takes to fight for and help all students.
Okay, that's great, and it's great that you're a candidate that wants to fight and help all students, just like all the candidates' intentions, of course, have the same to do that. Now, you said on your websites you want to invite students to Senate meetings, but as the president, wouldn't that really not be your jurisdiction, being your jurisdiction is the executive branch? And on top of that, I'm sure you already know the Senate meetings are open to the public.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that we need to advertise a little bit better for. I think that if people know that their Senate meetings are open to the public, if they know the locations and the times, and if we actually go out and actively invite people to Senate meetings instead of just sitting back and hoping they show up. Now, I'm not talking about as president doing any kind of official capacity invitations. I'm simply saying if I see someone walking or if someone comes up with a problem and I know that the Senate's going to be dealing with that, then I'll say come out to the Senate meeting. And the same thing with the cabinet meetings. I want it to be transparent and open to everyone, which is also why I want to push to have bills and resolutions and minutes updated online within 48 hours of their being passed.
Okay, that's great. And yeah, we are in the digital age, and a lot more needs to be done to get student government and other aspects of the university all up online, because that's where things should be, because it's efficient, and it's also another way to provide transparency and get the word out to students about what's going on, and I'm happy to see that you're a great supporter of that. Now, also on your website, I'm taking this from, you said you want to work with administrators, not working against them. Do you feel that the student government is working against administrators now?
Not the student government specifically. You know, I don't want to, you know, talk bad about any specific campaign, but I think there's a big sentiment on campus on campus that the administrators are evil people, or in particular, I've seen a lot of attacks against the bookstore, and I've worked with the bookstore manager, Barb Headley, in the past. Very nice lady. You know, she doesn't bite. You sit down and talk to her, send her an email, she'll get back with you. And, you know, I worked with Dean Sensor at Humanities and Social Sciences, Dean Travis at Health and Human Services. You know, they're good people, and they have sincere intentions to help students. And that's kind of what I mean by working with and not against. Not attacking people like the bookstore, accusing them of, you know, stealing, accusing them of being out in their own interest. Because that gets us nowhere. That tears down relationships instead of builds them up. And at the end of the day, consensus building and developing relationships is the most effective way to bring about change, and change for the better of all students.
That's great, and it's a great idea that you have with going about doing things like that. Now, with the bookstore, I know you had some ideas. Would you like to describe what you want to do working with the bookstore in the future in terms of making textbooks cheaper for students or something like that? I know you mentioned it during the debate last night. Just for the people who aren't at the debate, if you could reiterate what you said.
Right. Well, you know, I started a program. I had this idea come to me late one night, and it was a community service discount at the bookstore. So if you do 50 hours of community service within a semester, the next semester you get a discount at the bookstore. very simple. I emailed the manager, and she said, sure, let's talk. We talked. It got done. You know, that didn't take a mass student movement of anti-bookstore rallies to get done. It just took a simple email and a follow-up conversation. So other things I like to pursue with the bookstore are getting the facts out there, because there are a lot of misconceptions about the bookstore. First of all, the bookstore does not survive off of textbooks because of contractual issues. They really survive off of Mason gear that's purchased and supplies that are purchased there. So this notion that they're somehow banking thousands of dollars off of these textbooks and price gouging students is absolutely false. And while I understand that textbooks are expensive, and I have to buy textbooks just like everybody else, about $500 a semester, what I also understand is that they're there to provide a service for the students. And, you know, I think that can be proven by the fact that they're willing to give discounts.
Okay, that's great. And I'm glad that you're clarifying that for the students and that you want to work closely with administrators to improve the lives of students, which is really what this is about. And thank you very much for coming out today and WGMU's Your Talk. Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you.
It was an interesting interview, and Kyle does have some interesting ideas. Now, I just don't agree with him still on the Hotel Conference Center saying that it shouldn't have been up there. He's like, we were talking during the break, it generates revenue.
Yes.
Right?
It's taking away potential revenue that we're not seeing and bringing it on this campus. And eventually the revenue and expenses are going to go in favor of the revenue. It won't be at first, but it eventually will. I could see a little bit about parking, but that's where the university has to step to the plate and look at another section to take down a one parking area and just triple it with a three or four level parking deck.
Yeah, and that's a great idea. I mean, personally, I'd rather have something that's going to generate revenue for the school rather than have a few more parking spots. I would think you would agree.
Yeah.
But like he did say, the circus generates revenue, but come on, that's a little ridiculous. The hotel is going to be a standing, you know, structure that's constantly generating revenue, and like you said, it will eventually pay for itself.
Yeah.
And I think everything should be long term, and that's how you have to look at things when with such a large university like this. And also when he mentioned the snow cone and cotton candy machines, kind of poking fun of how we wanted to do that for Mason Day and the Academic Advising Expo. I don't know if you went to the Academic Advising Expo.
No.
Did you check it out?
No.
The comm department was there. So they were doing their advising stuff there. It was certainly a great event. And I just wanted to respond to that because I didn't in the interview. The reason why they did that is to attract students to come out to these events. And yes, it costs money, and yes, maybe it sounds a little ridiculous to be spending student fees on that, but you have to have those things to come out to the student events. Not mm-hmm. everything can be perfect. You can't just sit there and say, we're not going to have any of this stuff and expect students to show up, because it's just not going to happen. People can have these wild and crazy ideas, but you have to sometimes do things and spend some money to get things going.
Mm-hmm.
And also with the all students, every event should benefit all students. Yes, that's true. But when you do something like, let's say, a Pride Week, you know, that's benefiting maybe that certain group of individuals within the university. And I still think it's a good event to support. Wouldn't
right.
you agree?
I would think so. You sometimes
have to support specific events,
yeah.
right?
Right.
That deal with specific organizations. Now, I said I would get to this in the beginning of the show, and I know you've seen these emails, Roger.
Yeah.
And Devin Tyler, their campaign denied my interview request. I'm going to read them off to you. Saturday, April 4th at 2:04 p.m., last minute, he sat there and said, Tyler and I have gotten your message and are excited for the opportunity to be on your show. Feel free to shoot me an email or call me to schedule a time. Saturday, April 4th, 9:46 p.m., Alex, I appreciate you presenting Tyler and I with the opportunity to be on your show. However, we decided as a campaign to not take part in this, as we feel we were able to voice ourselves at the debate and through our website. We want to keep a setting where our stances are clear and feel this event runs a risk of competing against each other rather than keeping our focus on what we see as best for the school. However, if you want to send us questions, we will be glad to answer them. Let me read my response quickly. I will make sure that your messages gets out to the students during the live airing of the show, like I'm doing right now. This interview was a chance for the students to hear the questions asked about your campaign that are critical. All of the other campaigns have signed on, except you, as you've seen in the live airing right now. It's not about competing against anyone. It's about showing the students you can answer the tough questions on the spot about things that you see are quote-unquote best for the school. But I guess those questions, answering those tough questions on the spot, can run a risk of your campaign becoming discombobulated. You are the first potential interviewee to deny my request out of the top out of some of the top administrators at the university. I will make sure to let the students know your opinion while you decline, along with mine. Thank you very much, and good luck with the rest of your campaign. Now, I know I'm not Walter Cronkite or, you know, Katie Kirk with the Evening News. I'm not Anderson Cooper. I'm not getting really offended that he denied my interview request. I'm almost upset because he's, you know, the students aren't going to get a chance to hear critical questions asked of them. Don't you agree?
I would think so, and I think you're going to be very fair. There's that idea that, well, we can read into whatever he's saying, and it's his position, but I don't think it's impinging on you, because I think you'd be very fair.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And I thought I was fair with the rest of the candidates. Yeah. I asked all of them equally hard questions.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've talked to people who are close with them and close to the campaign even, and they said this was a bad idea. I really think this was an idea with their campaign manager and them to, and they said, you know what? I don't know if we could really run the risk of going on there and us getting put on the spot. And I have the evidence of that by them saying, you know, we'll be glad to answer questions if you send them to me. That means that they have time to prepare them, they have time to finalize them and do research for them. So it's like, if he doesn't want to run the risk of competing, then why even participate at all? But obviously he's still participating by answering my questions that I sent to him. Yeah. So I don't know. It sounds a little sketchy. If he can't be put on the spot by Alex Romano and Roger Smith at WGMU, then I don't know how he's going to do with the administrators and the student body.
Yeah.
I still think he's a great candidate, and I still think he's a very powerful one. I just think it says a lot about his about their character, choosing not to come on the show. It's very interesting, and you can take it for what it is, because I just read everything verbatim, straight up, and you can, the listeners can take their opinion from there. But that's our first, Roger.
Okay.
Hopefully we won't get too many more of those in the future. Hopefully. So far, so good. So hopefully we'll continue our record. I'm getting some of the best administrators on from this university, which is always great to have them on this show and talking about the issues. Now, I want to thank everyone today for listening to WGMU's Your Talk. Hope some of your questions were answered, but if they weren't, let me know, and I'll ask them live for you on air. Remember, you can check out the podcast of this show and the previous ones on the Facebook group page, alexanderromano.com, and on wgmuradio.com. You can now even subscribe to the show's podcast and have an email sent to you each time a new podcast is out. If you want the latest information, keep on checking alexanderromano.com and the Facebook group page. Leave your comments. Also, please keep sending me your questions for Assistant Chief Janowski for the Ask the Police segment. Contact me on the Facebook group or my website. Now, that's all from us for this morning. I'm Alex Romano.
Roger Smith.
Till next time, this is Your Talk on WGMU. Always talking about what you want to hear. Your issues, your talk, your station, WGMU.